Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from ISO Energy in this segment and the president and CEO, Craig Perry. ISO Energy is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ISO and on the OTCQX under the symbol ISENF. Now, Craig, before we get into some of the recent news out of ISO Energy, let's talk about the macro environment for uranium. The uranium price continues to hold above $33. It's about $33.50 as you and I are recording this. But I think the interesting aspect, and one thing that has drawn more attention to the uranium sector, are these mines that are temporarily shut down, and also the fact that there is still a lot of buying that has to come on the spot market for some of these larger companies to fulfill some of their contracts. What's some of the comments that you can share with us when it comes to the macro environment for uranium?
Yeah, hey Corey, great to be back. Very, very interesting time. As everyone's seen, we've seen uranium prices, the spot price rally from $23.50 to sitting at about $33.60 today, which is, makes uranium the best performing commodity of the year so far. So doing very, very well. Bullish, long way to go. And there's a few data points that make us think that we're about to go through a serious, and longer lasting bull market. Of course, we've seen all of those mine closures around COVID-19. But I think the most important thing we've seen in possibly the last 5 years in uranium has happened with Kazatomprom, of course, being the world's largest producer, produces about 40% of the world's uranium product, uranium fuel. Their CEO, Pumatov, back in late April, did an interview with UxC and made it very clear to the market that not only will they not be selling product into the spot market this year, and of course Kazatomprom are the main supplier of product to that spot market, the CEO there has said that we're not going to sell into the spot market in 2020 at all. And indeed, we've got other long-term contracts that we're going to have to buy product in the spot market to fulfill. And of course, Cameco have been doing the same from their long-term contracts with McArthur River, which shut down, the giant McArthur River mine, shut down 2 years ago. And Cameco, of course, closed Cigar Lake 4 weeks ago to protect their people and the communities they operate in from COVID-19 and the pandemic. And so, you've seen all of that product from the two biggest producers in the world taken out of the market, and both are buying on the spot market as we speak to meet their long-term contracts. Of course, we've seen the price rise strongly in the past 4 weeks off the back of the announcement of those closures. We've started to see product drying up in the spot market. We haven't seen all of that product disappear yet, but as that as we move into undersupply seriously over the next couple of months and we see that product really dry up, traders, businesses become very, very seriously challenged. And we think, we our friend Mike Alkin at Sachem Cove, who, he's one of the thought leaders in the space and a leading fund manager in uranium, says all of those utilities, particularly the guys in the US, are going to be caught short here. They're not going to be able to secure the product that they have for the past few years in the spot market. And so the potential for a really dramatic upswing in the uranium price is very, very strong over the next few months. So I think this could be the most exciting time in the uranium space in the past 10 or 12 years. So great time for your listeners to be looking very hard and long at how you get set in uranium now.
So, Craig, when it comes to the spot market, the fact that the largest supplier, Kazatomprom, is not selling into the spot market, is there any estimate that anyone can reasonably give in terms of when the what's available for sale in the spot market does finally dry up? Because, in all fairness, I feel like I've heard this rumor floating around now for months, if not a couple of years.
Yeah, look, absolutely, and it's a tough question to answer. I don't think any of us really know, and of course, there are We understand the issue has always been stockpiles out there, what material is in stockpiles, where's this product going to come from. We think that the producers, for the most part, now have run their inventories down to the very lowest debt level that they possibly can. And indeed, Cameco on their quarterly call 2 weeks ago made that statement again, that they've got their inventories at the lowest level they can have them at. And then the question becomes, well, what are the materials out there? And we suspect there isn't much in those inventories and those stockpiles. But this is, we're right in that price discovery phase of the cycle. And it's a question of, now that these producers have stopped producing and providing product to the stock market, spot market, how much is left in the stockpiles versus where are the customers, the utilities at in terms of their inventory levels, and how much longer can they sit on the sidelines in the spot market before they've got to really dive in? And we suspect that the next couple of months will answer that question at long last. It's been a lingering question, as you say, for a few years now.
All right, let's get into a little bit more of an update here on ISO Energy. First, following up on news that the company completed its review of the winter drill program. You and I talked a number of times following along with that winter drill program as you continued to expand that hurricane zone at the LaRock East project in the Athabasca Basin. Give us a little recap of that winter drill program and what your review is telling you about future work needed.
Yeah, look, absolutely, Corey. So the winter program was, highly successful. We were ecstatic with the results. I suppose we've gone from, having a deposit there that we'd proven up pre-winter that was about 500 metres long. We've now expanded that to a 600 metre length. But the critical thing that we did in that winter program was discover this very high-grade core of the deposit, and we put out some spectacular results over the winter program. We kicked off back in February with announcing the results of hole 32A, which hit 8.5 meters at 20% uranium. We followed that up with hole 34 that hit 8.5 meters at 34% uranium. On that OPAX list of best drill holes globally, that hole 34, 8.5 at 34%, sits at number one globally in terms of drill holes drilled around the world in any commodity. So, staggeringly good results there. And then we've had a slew of other great results, finishing up with the last of those holes we announced a couple of weeks ago that hit 10.5 meters at nearly 12% uranium. So fantastic program. It's proven up a high-grade core. Drill holes like that add serious pounds to a resource, so we're quickly factoring that in. And then I think, we're gearing up now for a summer program to follow up those results. It's worth pointing out that none of those sections in that high-grade zone particularly have been closed off yet, so we've got a lot more drilling before we understand the extents of the ore body. So look out for that as we get back in there come July and come summer when we're drilling again. We're well on our way to working on a maiden resource. We're looking at probably next year to do that. There's still quite a bit of drilling work to do on that front before we understand the tons and grade of the deposit and the shape of the deposit. But it's suffice to say that, the winter drill program exceeded all expectations.
So, Craig, when do you think that you will be able to start up the next round of drilling to continue to further define this resource?
Absolutely. So, of course, when you're considering the next program, I suppose, in this terrible time of the COVID-19 pandemic, we've got more than ever our primary focus is on the health and safety of our people and the communities we operate in and our reputation. And so you have to factor all of that in. Ideally, we would be mobilising a rig sometime in early June. Mobilising our team. We've actually got two drill rigs at site ready to go at the moment. But we can't do that right now. We're still waiting on our drill permits. They'll come in the next couple of weeks, we expect. And then we've looked at and worked hard to put in place a series of protocols that will allow us to operate safely without risking a further spread of COVID-19. So we've got that in place, and that should lead us into a drill program kicking off probably late July at this point. It'll be a similar program. We're working on the planning and budgeting process there as well, but our expectation is that we'd like to drill a similar number of drill holes as to what we did over winter. So, you know, of the order of 20 holes or thereabouts. And, you know, once we kick off, there'll be, of course, a slew of news releases and results from that work. And worth highlighting that part of the drill program will be to close off those high-grade sections. So we'll be drilling in and around some of the highest-grade hits we've had. So, you know, we'd expect some pretty good news flow come summer.
All right. When we do get a little bit more information on the drill program, I'll follow up with you. But there was also another news release that outlined the staking of the Evergreen property. So this is in the southern area of the Athabasca Basin, as well as three other uranium property extensions right around, or some of them at least, right around the LaRocque East project. This brings the total projects in the company's portfolio to 15, all pretty much within this Athabasca Basin. Craig, what's the theory, what's the strategy behind continuing to stake and acquire land?
Yeah, look, we couldn't be happier with the results there. It's highly competitive to stake ground, particularly in that eastern part of the Athabasca Basin, but the basin generally. And Steve Blower, our VP of Exploration, who leads the technical team, has just done a stellar job of getting us in there and getting us positioned and beating the competition to staking some of the most prospective ground on the planet for uranium mineralisation. I'm absolutely thrilled with what the guys have done there. We've staked further around our LaRocque East deposit. It's quite sort of shocking that ground would be available, you know, given the discovery we've made right next door to where we've staked. So we've expanded our property portfolio up there, and then this very big Evergreen property down to the south, the southern margin of the basin. It covers part of the basin and the edge of the unconformity there. It's a property that's positioned and in similar scale to NexGen's Rook One property, where of course that Arrow deposit sits. So it's got a massive amount of potential. It's a big land area. We've got I think there are a number of walk-up drill targets on all of those properties, but the primary the next step for us is really to get in and work up some of those targets and look at how we might get out and drill those over the next couple of years. We've got we've really got 2 years before we have to have spent a serious amount of money on those. So we'll look at doing that in due course. For the time being, of course, Hurricane is the focus for us. We'll be getting out there and drilling, but we'll look to prove up targets on those fantastic other properties. And of course, you know, fundamentally, the strategy there and the reason we're doing that is that the Eastern Athabasca is the most prospective place in the world for high-grade uranium deposits, and these properties have all got excellent targets and potential that justify our expense and effort there.
All right. Now, just to wrap us up here, Craig, I guess a final note being that the company's focus is still on this LaRocque East and Hurricane Zone, because you still haven't even put out a resource or even found the extent of this deposit. But there have been some rumors flying around that the company might be raising money soon. You know what? There are these rumors for a lot of companies because there is this financing window that seems to be occurring right now, where a lot of companies are raising money. The company does have cash in the bank, though. So what updates can you give us here? Are you planning on coming back to the market to raise more money in the near term?
Yeah, good question. We've got $3.5 million in the bank, which really gets us through the bulk of the rest of this year, even with a serious drill program. We expect uranium prices to be much higher based on that macro picture that we've given you there in the next couple of months. And of course, you know, with being funded for our drill program, we'd expect to be putting out some results that should generate a much higher share price. So we're not in a hurry to do a financing. You know, there's been some I've heard some of these rumours as well. They're not true. We're not intending on coming back to the market anytime soon. Of course, we've got the backstop of being supported by NextGen. NextGen just completed a financing, or is in the process of completing a financing, I should say, with Queens Road Capital as we speak. So by mid-next week, our major shareholder and big brother will be sitting there with the better part of $80 million in the bank. So we've got a backstop there in terms of support and financing. So we don't need to come back to the market anytime soon. So if people like the macro picture, like the uranium investment thesis, and love getting exposed to the best uranium story out there at the moment in terms of exploration, then you need to buy us on market.
All right. Well, Craig, we're going to wrap it up there. And full disclosure, I am a shareholder of ISO Energy. I will be following up with the company as more news hits the tape. And if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Also, if you missed that recent webinar that Craig took part in about a month ago, I will post the recording below this interview. Craig, I appreciate your time. Thank you for the update. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure. Have a good one.